everybody. Welcome to the show this morning. It's our first For Africa live event, as Victor said. We're going to be talking about Office 365 in education today. Just a little bit about myself. I've been in teaching and training for 30 years now. Recently, I've done a lot of work on Office 365, written some training guides, and I have a company called Tablet Academy Africa that works to help teachers and learners get to grips with new technology in the classroom and enhancing learning and teaching.
Great. So a little bit about myself is the fact that I work at Microsoft, but before I joined Microsoft, I used to be a teacher, taught at high school for a number of years. I thought I need to move to a new environment and got introduced to Microsoft Partners in Learning, where I did some training before I joined Microsoft. 2007, I joined Microsoft and managed what we used to call the School Technology Innovation Center. And at the moment, what I'm doing is training teachers, and I'm also training students on how they can use technology in innovative ways to impact learning and teaching. And as I said before, I'm so excited to be part of this because I'm going to share a lot of my personal experiences working with kids, working with teachers as well.
Okay, we've got a packed agenda for you all today. We've got six modules we're going to get through across the course of the day. I think we'll go straight into the first one, Victor, shall we?
We
call this one the New World for Learning. And it looks at where we've come from in education, where we think we are now, and where we want to go in the future. So let's get on with it, shall we?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Looking forward to this. Don't go away, please.
And please fire in your questions to us online. We'll do our best to answer anything we can for you. I can see we've got some questions coming in already, which is pretty good. But we'll make a start and let's see how we get on.
Right.
Okay, the new world for learning. The slide on the screen now is a pretty interesting one. If you look at the list of characteristics, you'll see down there what we think the main characteristics of education in the last century have been. And on the other side, you'll see a list of characteristics that map out perhaps where education really does need to go in the 21st century. And I think one of the interesting things about this slide is that if you look at all the things down the left, you'll see that they are very one-size-fits-all, very teacher-led, transmission type of education. And yet, on the right-hand side, we move to a personalized, individual style of education, which places a lot more reliance on the learner to take responsibility. And I think in the last century, we were educating people to come out and do specific jobs at specific times in set places, do a certain function, not ask too many questions. What we're trying to do now is change that whole paradigm and move forward.
Absolutely. If I look at myself, my career, what I've gone through, I think I've lived both worlds, you know. You know, I remember my time 10 years ago as a teacher. I used to be, you know, on the left, all of those, most of those on the left, you know, very teacher-centered.
Sure.
You know, getting kids to really memorize facts and all of that. But now I'm at Microsoft and my job is to do a lot of research, find out what are the new technologies, and, you know, work with kids, show teachers what are new technologies, and, you know, I'm finding that, you know, I've kind of lived both worlds, haven't I, Jay?
I think so, yeah. And I'm the same, and kids are not all the same, are they?
Oh, yeah.
They learn at different paces, they reach different stages at different ages, and I think we've got to start getting really personal with education if we're gonna make sure that kids are fit for purpose in terms of coming out and fulfilling the potential and Africa's economy over the years to come.
Great.
It's a big challenge for educators, it has to be said. There are a lot of things we've got to get right, a lot of questions that need to be answered. I think the information age is a big challenge because it demands a new credibility. We are not the most knowledgeable people in the classroom anymore as teachers. We have got 30, 35, 40 experts sitting out there in front of us, all with their smartphones, all ready to correct you, tell you you're not right,
yeah.
This is the right answer. So we have to get teachers, you know, really skilled up with these new demands and a new credibility for education. And there's an evolving understanding of literacy too, because it's not just reading and writing anymore, is it?
No, no, it's more than that.
It's much more than that. We've got to be literate in terms of how we use the web. You know, the skills of search and evaluation and critique and presentation, all these things are probably the new literacies. Our children are bombarded with information. They get information from continuous sources, the internet, television, adverts, radio, game stations, smartphones. They're continually multitasking, aren't they, from flipping from one device to the next, game stations, sometimes two or three things at a time. And they have a very short attention span now, and we have to adapt education to take advantage of these short bursts of concentration that they're able to cope with.
Absolutely, yeah.
I call it knowledge grazing. Have you ever gone onto Wikipedia? Yeah, and you click on a hyperlink, and then you click on another one, and another one, and you take this journey, this self-directed journey through learning. Do you find that? Do you find yourself doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. Talking about kids and, you know, using different devices, I have a six-year-old daughter who sometimes she wants to use my laptop and maybe my tablet as well, and also the Kinect, Xbox, you know, and I always find that she expects to find, you know, whatever she works with on my computer, she expects to find the same stuff on my tablet, you know. So they expect information to be everywhere on all of these devices, you know, to be able to pick on a device and access the information that they want.
And they want it instantly, don't they? Absolutely. Straight away, yeah, straight absolutely. There, straight when they want it. No waiting, it's got to be there instantly.
Yeah, sure.
And this is a mobile society. It's all about learning on the go. And they want information wherever they are. They don't want to be tied to one particular source. And that, again, is another big challenge for education. How do we deal with that within these four walls that we call a school? You know, that's another big challenge. A constant connectedness all the time. How do we cope with that? And I think, lastly, adaptive technology is a really interesting one. When they're playing their Kinect or their Xbox, they're getting feedback about how to improve their performance and move up to the next level in a game. And this feedback is helping them to improve their performance. And it's instant. It's there straight away. And teaching historically has not been like that, has it?
Talking about getting instant feedback, you know, I think about my time as a teacher, you know, I used to be a geography teacher, right? And, you know, I'll give my kids a test, and because we were so overloaded with work, sometimes it will take me like weeks to return the tests, you know, and the kids will be asking, say, but where? What happened to our test?
Where's my results? How did I do?
Yeah, well, how did I do? And stuff like that. But, you know, now I realize the importance of instant feedback. Kids, whenever they do an activity, they'd like to be told now, where can you improve? How can you make it better?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So the big challenge for educators. The next slide I really like. I think it sums up everything about this information age that we're in. It's a quote from Mitch Kapoor, and it says there, getting information off the internet is like taking a drink from a fire hydrant. You know, this constant barrage of facts and information. It can be completely overwhelming at times, can't it?
Yeah.
And again, it's another challenge we've got to deal with. So what do teachers want? What do educators want, really, in school? The next slide, if you can cue that up, guys. Has got a few thought bubbles there about the type of things teachers want. And they're really asking for help with organisation, help with planning. They want to be able to contact other people and share ideas and resources. They want to be able to share with students, share with parents and caregivers more. And the other one up there, encouraging creativity is a really important one. I know you, Victor, used to do some work with digital storytelling, getting boys to do creative
absolutely.
Writing.
Absolutely, yeah, I do that every day. Let me tell you something about my experience with that. So, you know, digital storytelling, it's about, you know, basically how kids can use, you know, tools like Movie Maker, Songsmith to create music, games and stuff like that. And my experience has always been the fact that, you know, I'll prepare a lesson, I'll get maybe 30 kids in a computer room, or maybe they're using tablets or whatever, and My experience has always been the fact that, you know, I would have a PowerPoint prepared, you know, as an introduction. And, you know, what happens is when I deliver the presentation, you can sense, you can see the kids are so bored. Look at me, what is this guy doing?
Death by PowerPoint.
But the moment I show them the tools and say, these are the tools and you can change the world with the tools. You can create games, you can create apps, you can create stuff, you can create movies. They get so excited. That's when I've hit the soft spot, you know, the sweet spot, you call it?
Yeah, you can change the world with the tools.
Yeah, sure.
That's a good one. Great. And I suppose it's all about a set of tools that are going to deliver these wants for teachers, isn't it? What tools can we give them that are going to help them to achieve all of these needs that they identify? And of course, the kids have got needs as well. We must marry that together with the educators' needs. And the next slide is a good one. It's all about the types of skills that we want children and young people to develop in the classroom. And it's all about connecting with people so that you can look for different points of view, you can get information from lots and lots of different sources, not just one person at the front of the classroom anymore.
Okay.
You can find the experts in your own learning network, your own group of friends, and if you can put all that together, it gives you the skills and it helps you to be able to create your own things, to ask good questions, evaluate all this information, and this is an American term here. It's called the learning sweet spot.
Yeah.
It's when you get at that intersection of all of these skills, this is where real learning and real creativity starts to happen. Crowdsourcing learning, you know, find your learning from a lot of different
sources. Yeah.
Finding it from different sources.
Oh, okay.
Going out there and seeking lots of different points of view, lots of different places where you can find information and knowledge, not just the sage on the stage at the front of the classroom anymore. Yeah, and teachers need to be able to guide students through this learning journey now. It's being this kind of, you know, the guide on the side rather than the sage on the stage. The next slide shows that again as well, these skills that all add up together to give this intersection in the middle, which is this learning sweet spot. So it's finding a set of tools and helping learners and teachers get to grips with the tools to transform the learning, taking it to a new phase.
I like that slide, you know, Jay. You know, and it's a kind of slide that I normally, when I work with teachers, and then they ask me because, you know, as teachers, we're bombarded with tools. There are new tools every day.
Yeah.
And how are we going to choose the right tools to use? And as we always say, Jay, good teachers use
good tools.
They
do.
That's it, eh? And, you know, I said to them, you know, ask yourself a few questions. I always use that slide, something similar to that, as like a checklist. You know, ask yourself, will the tool allow me to connect? Will the tool allow me to connect with other teachers? Will the tool allow my students to collaborate with other students? Will they allow me to collaborate?
Mm-hmm.
Will they allow my kids to be creative, to be innovative, create new things?
It's a challenge. I mean, we can suffer from innovation overload in education, can't we?
Yeah,
Every week there seems to be a new policy, a new procedure, a new method, a new piece of technology. Where do we find the ones that are effective and that work? And I don't know about you, but when I was in teaching, I didn't have a lot of time. And if I couldn't figure something out in 10 or 15 minutes, I would lose it. I would move on to something else, because
Absolutely.
To me, it had to be intuitive as well and easy to use. And this is the challenge, finding these right tools, isn't it, that work for everybody. Have we got any questions coming in at all? Anybody asking anything? Guys out there, have you got anything you want to fire at us just now before we move on?
Not
anything coming in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, here's a question here. Are there any great tools for mapping dependencies between learning items?
Mapping dependencies between learning items? Do you know, I can't answer that one at the moment, Victor. I think we'll have to take a rain check on that one, do a bit of investigation and come back to you on that. Mapping deficiencies, and that's a good one. That's a challenging question. I like that one.
Yeah,
we'll maybe come back to that one later
during
the day.
Let's check on that one and maybe answer that one
later.
Yeah, sure.
So if we move on now to the next slide, you can see there, education systems are historically composed of three components. You have the pedagogy, the kind of theory of the teaching. You've got the technology, and you've got content. Now, in the past, the pedagogy has been the expert, you know, the philosopher holding forth on the stage in front of the enraptured audience of students. The technology has generally been the textbook.
Yeah.
And the content is usually the printed word, the knowledge passed down from generation to generation. But now it's changing. The pedagogy now is no longer just this sage on the stage. It's an interconnected network of lots of groups of people learning from each other. The technology now is obviously computing and tablets and smartphones and all the other things that we perhaps take for granted. And the content really is the internet. It's everything we can find out there ourselves online. So education is shifting. It's a subtle and a not so subtle shift at times. And I think it's summed up in this next slide. The guys are going to queue up video one here, and it pretty much sums up a lot of what we've talked about this morning. And I'd like to watch this because it's a great video, I think, and it sets the scene for us pretty well. So if we can cue that video, and we'll just make some conversation here.
Having talked about technology providing all the content and all of that, do you think there's still a role for the teacher? You know, because I work a lot with teachers, I tell you, and some teachers say, are our careers being threatened here? Are we going to have jobs in the next 10 years? What do you think, Jay? Like,
I think there are some great opportunities for teachers, and I think young people are always going to need help. They're always going to need somebody there to guide them. It may well be a changing role, but you know, what stands still? Everybody's role changed, doesn't it? Yeah. And I think it's a question of being there to guide them through this journey, to make sure that they are achieving what they need to achieve, to help them decide where it is they want to go, to chart the way for them, if you like. To be the map reader and help them on this journey. Okay, we ready for this video? Okay,
great.
And we're back in the room.
Yeah.
That video, I like that video because it introduces perhaps a lot of the tools and the services that we're here to talk about today, which of course is Office 365. Hey, I mean, what did you think of that video? Do you like that?
Great. You know, the part I like most is the part where a child, for some reason, an injured child, is not able to go to school.
Sure. Uh-huh.
But she's learning. There's a way in which she's learning. She's using her tablet to learn, her phone, information the teacher is able to communicate with the child through her phone, through a tablet, and the child is learning.
And how often does that happen? How often is somebody off sick?
Quite a lot. Happens quite a lot, I think. Yeah.
And that great use of technology for assignments. So, you know, no more the dog ate my homework. Yeah? Could the dog eat your tablet?
Yeah.
You know, it's so, I mean, so how does it all work then, all this technology? We saw all these devices zipping about and content moving from one place to the other. How does it all work? What is this thing that connects everything here? You can see on this slide you've got all these devices, the different devices, and you've got this cloud-shaped thing in the middle, this cloud-shaped
cloud.
Guy.
What's cloud?
Here.
Some people may be asking, but what's a cloud? I mean, everybody today is talking about cloud, but what's a cloud?
Well, I suppose the cloud's part of the internet, isn't it? It's part of the World Wide Web, and it's a space where platforms like Office 365 live, and everything nowadays on platforms like Office 365 is hosted in the cloud. And do you know what's great about that?
Yeah.
It means that we don't have to worry about all our stuff being installed on one device and being tied to one device. So learning really is now no longer tied to that computer that's wired into the wall. We can take our learning with us wherever we go. In fact, our learning fits in with our lifestyle because everything is stored up in the cloud. All we've got to do is connect to that piece in the cloud, which is inhabited by Office 365, and we can access anything that we've got there from whatever device it is we want to use. So we've got fantastic flexibility now to really, really take learning where we want to go with it.
So Jay, I'm trying to break this cloud thing into something simpler. So if I meet teachers and I tell them, guys, the fact that you most of them use Facebook, right?
Sure.
The fact that you guys use Facebook or Twitter or whatever, social media, the fact that you can log on Facebook on your PC and get your stuff, your pictures or whatever, and whenever you pick on another tablet or another device, you get your stuff.
It's all there.
Could that be a simple explanation of a cloud?
That's right. I mean, Facebook is in the cloud. Twitter's in the cloud. Everything we take for granted nowadays is stored in the cloud.
Doesn't depend on the hardware.
Because you know what it's like. You can have Facebook on your PC, and you can be in your kitchen making a cup of coffee, and you can have Facebook on your phone. So the information just goes up to the cloud and back down to whatever device it is you're using. And the cloud is where it's at now. That's where we're going. And the dog definitely cannot eat the cloud, can it?
No way.
So, you know, that's the homework there. There's no excuse anymore for not being able to have the homework. Because your homework, you do it, you zip it to the cloud, and no dog could get anywhere near it. Yeah. So what do we get with Office 365? We've talked about these tools that we need to help transform education to this 21st century personal individual model. What tools do we get with Office 365? And the next slide here we've got the cloud there in the middle, and all these tools are connecting with the cloud. So we've got email, obviously, but not just email, because you've got a calendar that syncs with your email, and you've got contacts that are dynamic and work together with your email.
And by the way, in the fourth module, I'll look at how we can use most of those in a typical collaborative project between two schools. How they can use SharePoint, how they can use Link, how they can use Skype and so many other Office 365 tools.
We've got some great examples coming your way across the day of how we can actually use these tools in your classroom right now.
Cool.
Link online, video conferencing for education. You know, how cool is that? Bring an expert into your classroom to do a lecture on a special subject. Bring a granny in to do some reading to your grade twos. You know, we can bring the world into the classroom now with video conferencing and instant messaging that goes with it. You can even federate Skype. You can join that to Link now as well.
Interesting question here. In fact, it's not a question. Raja Walkers, I don't know where he's from. I think he's from Pakistan, says, I'm a trainer working in Pakistan, executing different Microsoft sessions, trainings.
It's good to have you with us today.
So I have a keen interest on learning Office 365.
Sure, I mean that's good.
I think
good
we'll
to
cover
hear.
This later, eh? what he needs to do.
We are going to go through bit by bit all the different things we could do with Office 365 after this introductory session. So we've had the communication tools. Now we've got the creativity and the productivity tools. There are web versions of all the familiar Office applications that we're used to using in school. So I suppose most of us use Word and PowerPoint and Excel and OneNote. And Office 365 for Education includes web versions of these products. So you, wherever you are, even if you haven't got these products installed on your device, you can still work on Word and PowerPoint and Excel and OneNote because you've got the web-based cloud versions that you can access from anywhere, anywhere you are. And any work you do while you're on the web-based versions syncs automatically with versions that you do on your desktop machine. So that's a great boost for creativity and productivity there. Sure. And of course, it all sits in SharePoint groups, which are the spaces, the collaborative spaces where we can get together online and bring together all this creativity, collaborate. And as we'll see later on this morning, there are some great collaboration we can do, some great creativity we can do in SharePoint groups. And you can have SharePoint groups for anything, can't you? For your classes, your departments, your admin staff, your senior leadership team, your district. You know, you name it, wherever there's a group, you can have a SharePoint group to do work together. So, Office 365, it's a complete managed learning environment. And the next slide pretty much sums up what we mean by managed learning environments. But we don't need these expensive and sometimes clunky VLEs anymore, do we? The virtual learning environments that we've had to buy in the past for schools that take ages to log into and lose things and are difficult to work with. Really, I guess schools don't need them anymore now that you can access services like this in the cloud. All your familiar tools and services are all together in the same place, so no more flipping around different parts of your desktop and trying to pull up different services and having to wait and flip between them. They're all there in one place. It's anytime, anywhere, any place, any device. It's Martini Learning, isn't it? That old television advert, anytime, any place, anywhere. Yeah? He the short guy behind the camera there remembers he remembers that advert very well. and it's free to schools, the A2 cost. Education plan.
Cost is a big problem in schools, sure. Like if you can make sure that the costs are reduced. Or, you know, with the Office 365, the one that we're talking about today, no cost.
That's right. Free to schools.
It's free to schools. So yeah.
So you're saving up money that can be put into other resources where the money's needed. And of course, there are other savings as well, aren't there? Because I mean, this can really help you shift towards a paperless environment. So you're going to save on photocopying. No more expensive photocopiers in schools. Talking about printers as well, you know, some of these printers look great and it's nice to have stuff in your hand, but the cost is astronomical and it all adds up over the course of the school year. And all your content's together in one place too, so you're not having to print off different copies for different teachers, and the pigeonholes in the staff room are overflowing, aren't they, with things falling out and handouts. None of that anymore. You save a lot of money on that. So there's a great benefit to education in actually going for a platform like Office 365.
Absolutely.
And I think very importantly for schools as well, it's completely secure and safe. If we want to have this connectivity, and if we want teachers connecting with other teachers, if we want teachers to connect with students, maybe to do weekend revision sessions or evening homework tutorials, we need to make sure that it's a safe environment for this interaction to take place. And of course, everything that happens in Office 365, there's a record of it. So if you're instant messaging for a revision session or homework, there's a complete record. There's no need, in fact, for teachers to communicate with students on any other tools outside Office 365 anymore, are there? It's a completely safe and secure environment.
I have a great question here.
Sure.
Somebody is asking, does it matter what sort of device I use to connect with when using Office 365?
Well,
because I'm using an Apple device, I think that's what it's saying, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's a Microsoft product, Office 365, but another of the great things about it is that it's platform agnostic. So whatever device you've got, you can access Office 365, either through a web browser or with the collection of apps that are available. And the questioner there is talking about using Apple devices. There are apps in the App Store for all the different components of Office 365 that make it really, really easy just to click on the app and it'll take you through to that component of your Office 365 that you want to use. I was just working last night, and I've got an iPhone here, and I installed Yammer on this tonight. And of course, Yammer is now available as part of the free education plan, and my iPhone app for Yammer works really well. And we've been playing about with that this morning, haven't
yeah,
we?
Yeah,
before we
have,
did the broadcast.
Yeah, yeah. And a follow-up question here, Jay: is it easy to set up and install?
It's very easy to set up and install. Office 365 is web-based, so you go to the Office 365 website, and there's a link that you can click on that will take you to a step-by-step installation. And on the screen now, if we move on to the next slide, we will see that Partners in Learning have just produced a special provisioning guide for Office 365. The guys are on a coffee break in the control room there, but that's it. Thank you, guys. Thank you. And you can see on the I'm sorry. Don't poison my coffee afterwards. On the screen there, you can see this is the guide that we've just produced in Africa for Office 365. And the very first one that's now live is the provisioning guide. And it is a step-by-step journey through how to provision Office 365 for your school or education institution. It's written by a teacher, and it's written in teacher speak, so there's no jargon, no geeky words. It's very straightforward and easy to navigate. You've seen it, haven't you? You've had a look at it.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think?
The first time, before I actually went through it, I was like, I don't know what to expect, because most installation guides for most IT software tend to be very difficult. The language tends to be very, very difficult.
Very techie jargon.
But I thought with this one, and the fact that you have a, what do you call it at the end, that the glossary?
The jargon buster.
Jargon buster. I think it helps quite a lot.
That's very important, because if you sometimes, particularly in the provisioning guide when you're setting up, we've had to use a few technical terms in there. And if you don't understand a term, the chances are that we've recognized that you won't understand it. And we've put a simple explanation in the jargon buster at the back of the guide. So as you're going through the guide, if there's anything that you don't understand, any word that you're not picking up, you just head over to the jargon buster, and the chances are that there'll be a pretty simple explanation in there. So all this techie jargon is completely translated into plain teacher speak.
Through the jargon buster.
What a tool.
I like that.
And that's what's good about the guides. You know, it's step by step. There are screenshots in there so that you know what you should be seeing on your screen as you go through the process. And it's pretty easy to follow. So we're hoping this is going to be really successful and help to schools and education institutions to get to grips with installing Office 365.
And I reckon, because we talked about the guide, I reckon if one is using Windows 7 or in Windows 8 even, you would be able to divide your screen, split your screen. So on one hand, you're going through the step-by-step guide, and on the other hand, you're trying to set up your Office 365. Would you be able to do that? I think, yeah.
You can. I mean, that's a great nifty wee little dodge on Windows 8, isn't it?
Yeah.
The split screen is great, because on one side, you could have the provisioning guide and be following the steps through. And on the other side of your screen, you'd actually have the site where you're installing your Office 365 from.
And every moment you get stuck, you go back to your guide. You don't have to flip through.
Yeah.
Windows.
And that's one of the great advantages of using Windows 8 devices, I think. And I work with lots of tablets, as you know, and all different platforms in my work. And one of the big advantages of the Windows 8 device is this ability to split the screen. And I think it's a real winner in education. You know, before you would have had to flip from one screen, then back to the other screen to check that everything was okay in the guide,
very
and
difficult.
Then back to where you're installing, and back
yeah.
and forward, and you very soon get fed up and you can lose your place.
Yeah.
So the split screen in Windows 8 is a great way of helping you to get this. But if we look at just a couple of examples of the pages in the guide to Office 365, On the screen now, you've got the page for setting up email and distribution groups in Exchange and Outlook. And okay, it looks a bit wordy there, but that is setting the scene, if you like, that page. And you can see at the bottom, there's the first one of the screenshots. Actually, I lost my wife. I couldn't think about what I was saying there. I think that was a bit of an old moment, you know? No, there's a screenshot at the bottom there. So all these guides are punctuated with screenshots and bullet points so that they're easy to follow and easy to understand. And like we said, they've been translated, so they're in plain teacher speak. So we're really hoping, fingers crossed, that these are a great success and that they help drive forward the use of Office 365. Moving on to the next screen, okay, step-by-step instructions, no jargon, just good ideas. Again, more screenshots there, simple instructions, so you know what you should be seeing as you're going on your installation journey through Office 365. I mean, it's great. We're on the verge of sparking this whole new world of creative learning, aren't we, with these tools?
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Should we take some questions? Have we got anything coming in?
I can see here. Teachers love the Jargon Buster.
They do. Right. I'm pleased about that.
What a great tool and companion for teachers.
We've got something right then.
Yeah.
That's a really important point. And all joking aside, the Jargon Buster is something that particularly in a process that can be quite technical and involve flipping around on settings, it's very useful.
You know, the situation is that a lot of schools this today I think spending a lot of money having to hire technical people to help them out with issues in their computer setup and stuff like that. Uh-huh. And you know, if you have something like that, like a deployment process guide that is written in a language that I can understand, mm-hmm. it, I think that schools will save a lot of costs on having to hire technical people. They have to do it themselves?
I think we can see a question being held up at the back of the room there. What's that say? So who's going to install Office 365 in my school then? That's an interesting one. Who would be responsible for installing Office 365? Does it have to be a set person? I think with the guide, it's pretty straightforward. Teachers could do this, school admins. I think it's going to really depend on what the setup in your school is. The point, perhaps, is that anybody can do it. And if we can do it, hey, you can do it too.
And I have a question here from Frank saying, how is my data private? Can anyone connect with it? Is it safe, secure?
Hey, that's a big worry, isn't it, in this day and age?
Yeah.
People being able to get hold of your data. You know, we're setting up accounts for people. We've got personal information there. We do need to make sure that it's secure. Is the cloud secure?
Sure it is.
It's a very secure way of doing things. You know, the only people who can access your school's Office 365 are the designated administrators. So you can set permission levels within Office 365 when you set it up that determines who's allowed to see what information. And of course, nobody from outside your Office 365, your institution's Office 365, can access it. So the data, anything you put in there, is as safe as you want to make it, really.
Sure.
You decide what permission you're going to grant for people to be able to see your documents and your other files, and that determines who can get in there. And of course, the administrator for your institution or your school has a top-level control over all the personal data. And your school might only have one or two top-level administrators.
Mm.
So, I mean, at the moment, what do? We lock personal information away in filing cabinets. Who's got the key? How many keys do we have?
Yeah.
It's the same principle, isn't it?
Yeah.
The permission is the key. It's the analogy here. And the data is as safe, I guess, as you want to make it.
Cool.
Okay, what else have we got coming in on Office 365 here? Somebody's asking here, how do I download this? How do I try this? Okay. I think what you have to do here is go to the Office 365 website, and there are instructions there that tell you where to go in order to start your Office 365. And on the guide, there's a handy hyperlink that will take you straight there to the site where you can start to install Office 365.
I'll also cover that one in the last module, I think.
Okay, yeah. That's cool.
Cool.
What other questions have we got coming in?
I think no, not at this stage. Sure.
Well, yeah, there is. There's one coming in here. I can see that on the screen there. Somebody's asking here, can we just try off? How do we try Office 365? Do we have to commit to it? Can we just try it out first of all? Can we do that?
I'm sure, yeah, absolutely, yeah. You've got a 30-day trial.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you want to just try it out, you can go to the site and install it. You get 30 days free to play about with it, to set things up, to decide where you want to go, if it's right for you. And at the end of the 30 days, if you're happy with it and this is the way you want to go, you can convert that to a full plan. And of course, it's free, isn't it?
Great.
Is there any limit to how many users you can have? I mean, does a big school have to pay, whereas a little school doesn't? How does that work?
I don't think, no.
No, it's completely free, isn't it? You choose how many users and how many licenses you want to give, and it is completely free.
Great.
So, let's sum up, shall we? We're going to talk a bit more about all these services in detail, but basically we've got connection tools, Link, Skype, Yammer. Yammer's come on too, hasn't it?
Yeah. As Yammer, of the 1st
of April.
Yeah.
So that's secure social networking as well within Office 365. And instant messaging too, they're your connectivity tools. Your creativity tools, you've got the Word, PowerPoint, Excel, and OneNote web apps. And it's all in SharePoint, where you can connect and collaborate in SharePoint groups. And we're going to be looking at each of those in detail throughout the rest of the day. We're just about coming towards the end of this first session now.
Would you like to maybe give us an overview of the second session so people can know what to look forward to?
The second session is really, really interesting because it's all about creativity. We thought that we would go right to the heart of what we think education should be for the second module, and we're going to dive deep into Office 365 and have a look at some of the great ways that we can be creative with our learners, but also how our educators can be creative in the way that they work and the way that they do things. We've got a special guest who we're going to bring in for the second session, who's very experienced in using Office 365 in her classroom. So we've got some great stuff coming from her, some real experience we're going to show you, some real young people's work. And then we're going to have a look at how teachers can use Office 365 creatively. So creativity is what the next session is all about. And we will have a look at the different ways that all the tools in Office 365 interact together in order to enhance this creative experience in the classroom and in the school or other education institution.
And you'll ditch me for
I'm going to, yeah, you're getting ditched, Victor. I guess you could make the coffees for us, can't you? Or keep us supplied with water. Yeah?
Okay, cool. I'm happy with that.
But we're going to bring you back towards the end of the second session, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Albeit remotely.
Great.
And then in the third session, we're going to look at collaboration, how you can get together to collaborate, to do all this creativity.
Great.
So the next two sessions are quite weighty ones, quite meaty. We're going to get straight in there and see just how Office 365 works in real life. Not just in theory or in the guidebooks, but how it's actually working in classrooms. And one of the great things about the guides, when you get a chance to have a look at them, and they're going to be rolled out across the continent over the next few weeks, is that they are really made up of user scenarios.
Mm.
So they're written from the point of view of somebody in a situation using Office 365 to improve learning and teaching or improve the way that they work. They're not just stuffy guides, they are real life examples and user scenarios, because we thought that was the best way to write them, you know, to give ideas of how to use Office 365 as well as showing you how the different parts work, because we need these tools. We've already talked about why we need these tools. I guess it's really important that we also focus on how they work and what it is that they do for us. Okay, I think we've got time for a couple more questions.
A bit of information here. Just so you know, the 30-day trial version we'll give you access to 25 teachers and 25 students. That's during the 30 days trial.
Okay.
But thereafter...
So you can try it with a class, can't you, then, I suppose?
Yeah,
you could try it with a whole class.
Yeah, sure.
Has that just come in on the feed there,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, yeah.
I guess that's one of our colleagues outside the room,
yes.
Just keeping us straight there,
yes.
Making sure we get it right. Okay, what else? What else is coming in? Anything we want to talk about?
No, nah, not at this stage. People are just looking forward to the second session. That's
great.
I think
we've got about 3 minutes left, so we can take one quick question if we need to. Not seeing anything. I think, like you say, everybody's waiting with bated breath for the second session, eh?
Absolutely.
Shame you won't be here for that, Victor.
I'm fine. Just enjoy coffee.
Hey, you can watch it on the screen.
I can watch it on the screen, yeah, that's right.
Okay, guys, thank you very much for joining us in the first session. Stay with us. It's going to get good across the rest of the day.
It's
Thanks
get
very
better.
Much.
Great.
Okay, we'll see you soon.
Bye.